Blog Talk Radio.
Pierre, for those who wants to know, I am saying welcome to the Reborn Identity. Oh, I am Vivian Kelly, joining me with my co-host, Ruthie Munoz. I'm just still a little bit of, you know, getting my dance on, and I am so excited. I just cannot believe it. Ruthie Munoz, I'm bringing you on board here. Girl, that was some music there. That was some awesome music. I was like, oh, I can just imagine how heaven is going to be when we see him face to face and we're singing praises to him. Oh, it's just going to be awesome.
And we're giving glory. Give him glory. Oh my goodness. I mean, Elisa has an amazing voice, but that song is so powerful.
And you know what? We're Latina, so I was over here okay, I need to jump and roll and run. And you know, my cat's standing like I'm crazy. But anyway, but it is. I mean, it gives you moving. But you know what? Because you know, sometimes I go to places where they're singing praise, and it's like, we praise you, Lord. We praise. And I'm like, what? You can't be praising the Lord like that. You need to.
Well, you know, sometimes you can if it's a hymn. And as a matter of fact, I think tonight we'll have a couple of them.
Yeah, but no. But we're talking about where it's like, you know, I used to have a friend when they would sing that way. That, you know, it just, we know that there's a season for every song.
Of course.
Would go in and he would go, can we view the body? Because this is like, we need to shout for the Lord.
It was
like
a morgue.
He would always say that, and I'm like, oh, hush up, we need to leave, because it was like, and we know that song was meant for praise, because we've heard it before, and it was like on a lower tone, and he was just a mess, but this was so wonderful. I just wish I would have heard it earlier when I was kind of going bummed out about something that I heard today, but God is good all the time.
Hey, and his timing is perfect in every way. You needed to hear that song right now in this instant.
Oh, yes, I did. Oh, and I was all over the place, looking like a mad woman. But anyway, you know what? Ruthie, you know, sometimes life throws us a curve, right?
Yes, it does.
And some days we just kind of get up and it's like the wrong side of the bed, but it couldn't be because you're facing the wall, but it kind of feels that way. Today was that, and I really needed that. Thank you so much.
Oh my goodness. You know what? You know what's so funny to me? That you have perked up like 150% like in the last 5 minutes.
I'm like going, okay, we can do this. We can do this. And then when I heard that, I was like, oh no, we need to hear that again. You need to send me some more.
Well, girl, I put the link where you could buy the digital.
Yes, I will do that. It is awesome. I just, you know, but it's amazing. It is amazing. But you know what? Because of scheduling conflict, I just want to make sure that our listeners know that we are pre-recording this show. It should be airing tomorrow as well, but it's archived, but it should be on a Tuesday, but it's on a Monday. And so the topic we will be touching on today is so powerful. And you know why it's powerful for me, because I also believe in the power of forgiveness. We didn't want you to miss out on it. Anyone who's tuning in right now going, wait a minute, I thought it was Tuesday. This is a very important message out there for everyone. And I know I was speaking to Donna Pyle, who's going to be our guest tonight. And I said, let the Holy Spirit lead. Let the Holy Spirit lead. And sure enough, the Lord is leading. Our Tuesday show will touch on recognizing your gifts and using them for God's glory. If you know a phenomenal woman that you would like to hear on the Reborn Identity, please write to us. Ruthie, they can write to us at the Ruthie, R-U-T-H-Y, at thereborn identity.com, or Vivian, V as in Victor, I, V as in Victor, I-O-N-N-E, at thereborn identity.com. Today on RBI, we have, as I mentioned earlier, Donna Pyle, who will be sharing with us a personal experience that plagues Christians today, especially on women. Because, women, you know, Ruthie, come on now. Us women have a knack of ruminating. You know, that word is ruminating. I put it out there, ruminating.
From rumination.
You know, you told me something 20 years ago, and I'm still festering? That's ruminating. That's just too much energy, too much junk to carry for so many years. So us women,
absolutely,
Christian women, have that tendency also. I mean, I have sat down, why are you not talking to Sister So-and-so? Well, you know, she did this to me 5 years ago. What? And you know,
well,
Jesus,
you know,
Christ.
I know, but at the end of the day, we're still women, and we're no different than other women, you know. But we should be.
No,
I'm not saying that it's right. but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That.
However, there are ministries like that of Donna Pyle, that like Hype, that we really focus on the forgiveness part, because sometimes I even, you know, tend to, like, you know, when my husband, and you know me, when my husband does something to me, like, I'm not talking to him. The sun has gone down and it's going to probably rise, and I'm still not going to talk to him until I feel like I should. And the Lord knows, like, he's like, hello, don't you empower women about forgiveness? And I'm like, oh yeah, I thank you for the memo. But anyway, it plagues Christians today, and how Donna Pyle will be able to show us some techniques, tell us about the word, to free, how she freed herself from, free herself from keeping things in, and how God has helped her by giving her the power of forgiveness. And anybody can actually have the power of forgiveness, you know. It's hard, though, Ruthie. It's really hard, you know. You know, like I was singing to you, I sent you a text message. Remember, I don't remember if you remember this, but I know Sesame Street, they used to have a song, when someone sucks me in the eye and they don't even tell me why, they get me mad, you know? And people keep on sucking us spiritually, and that gets us angry. But God has given us a wonderful tool, and we're going to talk more about that. So anyway, checking in. How are you, darling?
I'm doing good. How are you?
You know, no one needs caffeine when you're praising like that.
you heard the salsa undertones, right?
Yeah. And a wepa, you know, that was like,
I know,
okay.
I was saying wepa, I was like, wepa.
You know,
and I was like, wepa, si, señor. That's right. Because, you know, the Lord takes praises in all forms.
Yes, he does. That's why I never criticize people's praising, because it's like, who am I to judge them? You know?
But weren't we just talking about the morgue?
The morgue is and that is another thing. No, there is a difference. You can see when a person is not really in it and they're doing it for just, you know, I just want to be in here and I want to get out. That's a difference. That's not praising.
Oh, okay.
From the heart. And you can tell
no,
the difference.
No, well, thank
you when
for clarifying that.
Yeah, when you're praising the Lord, you know, you can praise it in any way. I love the Baroque era, and I love the Messiah and everything. There's a time for everything, but when you're singing let me just put it this way. If we were singing that specific song in church, and then people were like, let's just praise him. It's not, you know, it's like, okay, you're watching your watch. Are you going somewhere?
Right.
Shouldn't you be here mentally? And so, yeah, criticizing, that I think is more of an observation. But when you're kind of going in there and going, hey, you know what, let's just focus. I mean, you know, I've been in different locations where I love to hear praises when the kids from Africa, I forgot what, it's an African choir, but it's just real, you know, young kids. And you're just like, you just want to take your shoes off, and you just want to just praise him. And then you hear the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, then you hear the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, and they're different. They're different, but
right.
they praise. So anyway, but
that's
doing good. I'm doing really good, and I'm just, you know, very excited about that. I'm going to have to play it again before I go to sleep, so then I'm able to, you know. My husband's going to look at me like a wild woman, but then again, when he doesn't, he. But anyway, you asked me about how am I doing. I'm still putting my grandmother, lifting up my abuelita, who happens to be a grandma. If we know what grandma is, one who raises you as a child, you know, my mom is not around.
It's your grandmama.
It's my grandmama. And, where I have reached this point, that the Lord, and I know the Lord has allowed me to reach this point where I'm ready to let her go. If that makes any sense. Does that make sense?
It does.
You know,
and you know,
because it's going to hurt me. I know that in the process, but you know, I said, let's celebrate her life. 94 years old. 94.
That's a long and beautiful life.
Mm-hmm. So, today I feel great, And, you know, only God knows. The process of grieving is really different for many people. And I see her in pain. I just don't want to see her in pain anymore. Only God knows when he's going to take her home. So that's it. So, Ruthie, tell me, how's life treating you?
Well.
Ooh, he knows well. You know where we're going to end up. Okay, go ahead.
No, I mean it's good. I'm doing good. Just a little overwhelmed with school, and the last few days, my arm, my shoulder has been, you know, really hurting. But otherwise, I'm doing great. God is good. God is faithful. And what more can you ask for? You know, he's good and he's faithful. And you know, when I need him, he's there. When I don't, he's there. And when I think that I don't, he's there. But I really do need him all the time. But he's faithful, and he's teaching me some things along the way. He's teaching me a lot, because it's interesting that we're going to be talking about forgiveness, because that's like a big thing that I've been struggling with for many, many years. And so, you know, God, trust and forgiveness, and God is trying to work out the kinks with me, you know, one day at a time. So I am doing, today I can claim that I am doing fabulous. So I will claim fabulousness for today and tomorrow. I'm claiming it.
You know, and you know, something that you were saying that you were struggling with, you know what I realized early in my ministry? If we don't forgive now, we're not going to get an opportunity to forgive in heaven, really seriously.
Oh, we might not make it to heaven.
Exactly.
Because the Bible says you got to forgive.
Exactly. And so therefore, you know, for those people that go, oh, you know, I don't have to forgive someone. So I just, the power of forgiveness is so amazing for me. It's really amazing to me, because I believe in that. I believe and truly forgive. Not, okay, I'll forgive you for today. No, remember you.
Absolutely.
Because we like to resurrect.
You know, the thing is that, all night, and I have to hold myself back. I don't know. I'm kind of wacky, maybe because it's so late. But all night I've been, like, holding myself back from saying absolutely instead of absolutely.
Okay. But see, that's Ruthie. That's what I love about you. You're you. So go ahead, girl. Let it all out. But God is good anyway. But I'm excited about Donna Pyle coming on and talking to us. And you know, we need to get prepared for the latter rain. You believe in the latter rain. You believe in that the Lord is really sending his Holy Spirit to really work on us. And I believe
I can see it all around us.
Exactly. So, you know, he's calling us. He's calling us to, you know, have that reborn identity in every aspect of our life. And that,
absolutely.
Forgiveness. Exactly. And I strongly believe forgiveness is the key, one of the major keys to healing. And, you know, he calls us. He calls us, and he's showing us, and he puts resources out there, and he gets, you know, when people are struggling, there's going to be a sermon about forgiveness. I told you about what happened with my cousin. She, you know, the day that I got to see her for the first time in 16 years, and I didn't even know she was going to be there. What were they preaching? About forgiveness. About forgiveness.
Oh, forgiveness. I mean, forgiveness is key, I'm telling you. And it's something that, you know, it's not just women that struggle with it. I think, you know, everyone struggles
humans.
With it, whether, you know, whether they admit it or not. Because being hurt is a real thing. It's something tangible. And depending on the depth of the hurting, sometimes it's more than tangible because, it can affect the rest of your body, your health. Like, for example, I'll give you an example. Today I was talking about something that was very hurtful to me. And I did not realize how hurtful it was until my chest started hurting as I was talking about it. I mean, like, literally hurting, like, you know, like heart attack type of hurting, you know.
Wow.
And the pain was intense, and it was like,
the pressure
the more
was
I
there.
Yeah, the pressure was there, and then, of course, you know, my voice was constricting, and, of course, then I started with the crying and all that stuff. But what really blew my mind was the fact that I was having this pain, and then when I would get away from that, the pain would go away, and when the conversation would come back to it, the pain would come back. So, I mean, you know, that was tangible to me. That was more than tangible. You know, that was freaking
scary.
That was
real to you. At that specific moment, it was real to you.
Exactly.
You felt it, and you went through the motions.
And when it's something like that, you know, that real and in your face, and, you know, it's really hard to forgive whoever caused that hurt because you can get so caught up in the hurt that you have that you can come to a point that you say, well, you know, what you've done is unforgivable. And, you know, it's unfortunate. It's not biblical. But that's the truth of the matter for a lot of people in the world today. And I am really excited to be hearing about how Donna was able to overcome this curveball that life threw her way, and not only overcome it, but to be able to be triumphant through God's power of forgiveness. But before we bring her on, we are going to take a little break with one of my favorite songs from Natasha Perez called Softly and Tenderly.
Thank you.
That takes me back to when I was a little girl.
Yes.
I mean, I love contemporary music, don't get me wrong, but just hearing a hymn every now and then, you know, just it hits the spot.
It hits the spot. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling.
Always.
Well, I am just excited. I mean, this is just becoming a really exciting evening, and I would love to know more about our guest.
Well, I am more than happy to tell you about her. Donna Pyle is a personal friend of mine. We went on a journey together to Israel last year, and we just had a hoot of a time. It was 100 women, and by the grace of God, we all got along. And she is just
impressive.
I said the grace of God, didn't I? she's just an amazing woman. She's got one of the sweetest spirits that I've ever come across. And she is so talented. She's multi-talented. She's a soul-stirring, engaging speaker, an author, a Bible teacher, and a worship leader. She has a passion for studying and teaching God's word. Donna conveys God's love and joy loud and clear as she encourages women of all ages to passionately love, serve, and live for Jesus Christ. Not raised going to church regularly, Donna actively decided against it as a teenager. Consequently, as a young adult, Donna's life took many difficult turns due to poor decisions, a lack of direction, and no relationship with the Lord. At the age of 23, Donna accepted an invitation to attend a church service, and God took it from there. She was baptized into the family of God 6 months later. Over the past 20 years, God has worked tremendously in Donna's life through his life-giving word, prayer, worship, and incredible godly mentors. Today, Donna loves digging for the treasures. I just love that. She loves digging for the treasures in God's word, writing Bible studies and devotions, teaching adult Bible class, singing with her church's worship team, playing the flute on occasion, and encouraging others in the faith. In coming to faith as an adult, Donna brings a fresh insight into God's word and teaches those insights in warmth, humor and grace in an easy-to-relate style for both new and seasoned Christians. She has authored and published numerous Bible studies through Artesian Ministries, including studies which have been published in the Lutheran Women's Quarterly, as well as articles that have appeared in the Lutheran Witness. Donna remains actively involved in God's mission fields through the Lutheran Women's Missionary League. And she was born and raised in my new hometown of Texas. She resides now in Spring, Texas, and is a member of the Salem Lutheran Church in Tomball, Texas, where she serves in the ministry, in the worship ministry, as well as the Lutheran Women's Missionary League. We are so blessed today to have my good friend Donna Powell with us here today as she shares with us about her beautiful ministry, Artesian Ministry, that not only empowers women through Jesus Christ, but does so much more, and how she was blinded by one of life's curveball that she never saw coming. Devastated and hurt, Donna never turned from God. Relying on him more than ever, she was able to turn that curveball from a strikeout to a grand slam as she claimed victory through the power and freedom of God's forgiveness. Donna, welcome to the Reborn Identity Blog Talk Radio. How are you tonight?
Oh, I am just blessed. Oh, I'm so glad to be here with you, Ruthie. It just seems so long since Israel Girl.
I know.
It just
Man, but did we not have a hoot?
Oh, man. We just not only had a hoot. I mean, we walked where Jesus walked, and it was just life-changing.
Amen. It truly was. It truly was. You know, I was on your website, and I was looking through the video that you have of Israel, and it just took me back. That's an amazing video, by the way. You did wonderfully with that. But it just took me back to being there, and man, that it truly was, you know, for me, and I'm sure for you as well, it was like the culmination of my life stream to be able to walk where Jesus walked. And, you know, see the things that he saw, even though, you know, now it's in modern times. But I don't know. It's just it had a great impact in my life.
Yeah, I mean, it was just amazing because, you know, even now as I read through Scripture, you know, I'll run across a passage that identifies, you know, one of the places where we were. And it's like Scripture has come to life because I can remember just instantly.
Amen.
You know, what it smelled like and how hot it was and just the sound. And it has just brought Scripture to life, and it's been such a huge blessing.
I totally agree with you on that one, girl. Because, I mean, I read the Bible now, and I see things that I didn't see before. And, you know, I'm sure 100% that is because, you know, of the trip to Israel, because it did bring the Bible to life in ways that I could never have imagined. And what a blessing it was to have been able to go. What a blessing it was to have been able to go with such an amazing group of women, what an even bigger blessing it was that having been 100 women, we all got along for the entire 8 days that we were gone. Because I was stressing about that.
Oh, yeah. I heard not one cat fight. I heard not one catty remark. I mean, I think we were just all just in awe, really, just in awe. Not only the
absolutely.
Not only the teacher that we sat under, but just the whole thing. I think we were too busy trying to scrape our jaw off the ground to argue or anything like that. I mean, just amazing.
Absolutely. Now, Donna, you're an author, a Bible teacher, a worship leader, and a musician. Ooh, I'm tired just thinking about all that. How do you find the time for it all?
Well, God just kind of he pulls it all together, you know. They're all for him. And so what I find is when I have a chance to sing or play the flute or whatever, you know, it a lot of times meshes in or filters into what I'm teaching or what God puts on my mind to write. And so it kind of all goes together. So it's kind of hard to, you know, differentiate them because it's basically just a life of worship, you know, using the talents that he's given each of us just to serve him and how they all go together so beautifully.
Wow. Now, I know that you haven't always been a Christian, but in reading through your bio, it says that as a teenager, you rejected the notion of not going to church, yet you did not come to know the Lord until your 20s. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, sure. I mean, growing up, you know, Mom and Dad would try to get us, you know, to go to church. They'd take us, you know, on weekends every now and then, but it's nothing that was ever really a big part of our life. You know, Dad was in real estate, and so a lot of times his weekends were booked up and, you know, showing houses or whatever. And so
right.
It would be up to Mom to get all four of us girls, I have three sisters, all four of us ready and get us to church. And I think maybe we just gave her too much grief. I don't know, because it just wasn't a part of our life. So for us, you know, to have to put a free day, so to speak, aside to get dressed up, to go to worship someone we have no idea who it is, and be with people we don't know, just seemed like a pointless thing. And, you know, when I was about, 16, 17 years old, it was about the time of the Jim and Tammy Baker thing, you know, on TV. And
okay.
I just looked at that, you know, the what I thought at the time was just the craziness of that, you know, the jumping up and down and the extreme. You know, I looked at her and it was like, wow, if that's what it means to be a Christian, I just don't want to be a part of it. And so I really just walked away, and I thought, you know, even if Mom
wow.
invited me or Dad or whomever, I just didn't want any part of it because I didn't want to turn into a crazy person, basically. And
right.
And I went through a season of just, you know, rebellion and just all kind of stuff that just I was so far from God, you know, financially, relationally, emotionally, and definitely spiritually. And
mm-hmm.
I had been invited to a birthday party that happened to be in a nightclub, and I didn't want to go. And my friends drug me out anyway because I was working two jobs at the time, and they were like, you know, you're 23, you're young, you need to get out, blah, 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 blah. And I just didn't want to go. I was in sweats in my home being obstinate. And they came and picked me up and took me out anyway to that birthday party at the nightclub, and I just sat in the corner drinking a Coke, just being obstinate. And this man came across the dance floor and asked me to dance. And that's how I met the person who would introduce me to the church. And
wow.
It was just a God thing because you just can't plan that, you know. And I've never been really shy person as far as, you know, wanting to get to know someone, whether male or female, that I like, you know about them. And I had the next day off, which was Sunday. And I said, you know, I have the day off. I can make us a picnic lunch. We can get to know each other. And he looked straight at me, and he said, I go to church on Sunday. And
there was
such definitiveness, you know, that I thought, well, you know, I was looking at those big brown eyes, and I thought, well, if that's where they're going to be, you know, I guess that's where I'll go. And I just remember walking into church and feeling so out of place because I looked at all those people and they just looked perfect. You know, I tell people that story sometimes and they just laugh because they know they're not perfect. But, you know, walking in
the church, it's a veneer.
Yeah, everything looks so perfect. And, you know, it took me a while to come to realize that those perfect-looking people were sometimes just as broken and lost as I was. And just sticking with it, you know.
Right.
He was a great encourager, you know, just to keep going. And, you know, 6 months later, I was baptized and confirmed and started, you know, the official walk, so to speak, and it's been 20 years of ups and downs and the most amazing journey.
Isn't that fascinating how God uses different people in your life to, you know, bring you to Him? Like, He never gives up on you. And He used an attraction to get you to church. Wow.
Isn't that crazy? And what I've realized now in this part of my journey is that, you know, from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible is really just God's pursuit of us. And that's really what it is. It's story after story.
Uh-huh.
It's His pursuit of us in love. And that He never gives up, you know. And that's just so reassuring.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's reassuring. You have a ministry, Artesian Ministries. What does Artesian mean, and what do you do with your ministry?
Well, Artesian Ministries was basically born out of my own search through Scripture, basically. You know, I didn't know too much about the Bible, and over the years, I had just developed this, really within the past 6 years, just this hunger for God's Word, to really know God's Word, to know about Him, to know kind of what Pilate asked, you know, what is truth? You know, that search. And so I kept digging in the Word, and I would write these things, and they became Bible studies. And I thought, well, you know, they're going to have an outlet, you know. So I prayed about it and, you know, started this ministry. And Artesian, it's basically an underground aquifer that is pressurized, and if there's a, you know, drilling instrument that drills down to it and hits that pocket of pressurized water, it gushes up, and that's where artesian wells come from. Yeah, and that's really the picture of what God did in my life. He bore down and just, you know, released the joy of the Lord in me, and it was just such a picture of artesian. Because when I was growing up, we had property on the Trinity River, and there's artesian wells all over the Trinity River. And I remember that as a little girl, that there were these fountains that had this clear, cold water that would come up from, you know, nowhere to me. And it was just
right.
The freshest, cleanest, most refreshing. And I remembered that God, you know, called me to remember that when I started this ministry. And I thought, well, how perfect, the wellspring of life. And that's how Artesian Ministries came to be.
Wow. Something that you saw as a child stayed in your mind. God used that, you know, as a stepping ground for your purpose in life later on.
Yeah, He did. And, of course, you know, you don't know those things at the time. You know, I was probably 7 or 8 years old, and I was just fascinated with the crawdad, you know, that would play in the mud around the artesian wells because they liked the mud and the water. But I remember that cold, fresh water, and it just came back to me when it was time to actually put a name to the ministry that God was calling me to.
Girl, that is just amazing. You know, I always say that we don't give children enough credit because they do remember things. More than we give them credit for. I just wanted, before I move on to the next question, you had said something earlier that I picked up on when you were talking about not having God in your life, and you went through like a list of things that you didn't have Him in your life, and you said financially you didn't have Him in your life. What do you mean by that?
Well, I meant that, you know, I don't pardon me, I don't have a college degree. You know, I didn't go to college, and so I was basically just, you know, working a minimum hour job and living beyond my means. You know, I had a car that was too expensive for me, and I knew it. You know, living on credit that I ran into the ground. Just living that lifestyle of, you know, avoiding the repo man to come get my car because I hadn't made payments. And, you know, for me anyway, when I was having to hide my car just so someone wouldn't repo it because I couldn't pay for it, it was a wake-up call. It's like, oh, yeah, it's like, what am I doing, you know? And it was just really a physical picture of just a spiritual mess, basically, is what it was.
Wow. It's more like a spiritual hot mess, but yeah. Wow. I mean, honestly, that bowls me over that you hid your car to avoid the repo man.
Isn't that crazy? And finally, you know, they're smarter than, you know, a young girl. And, of course, finally I had no car, and then I had no job, and then I had to move back in with mom and dad. And, you know, all that stuff, you know, that rug that God just allows to be pulled out from under us to draw us to him. Mm-hmm. And it was just a series of events, you know.
And you know, that's – would you say that when you got to that point, you were broken for Christ?
No,
or not yet?
I wouldn't say that. No, not at that point, because I didn't put the two together, because church had never really been a big part of my life, and so that honestly never occurred to me. And as sad as it is to say, it's just the truth. Just what caught my eye was, you know, people, bill collectors calling and all this kind of junk. That's why I ended up getting two jobs, just to try to bail myself out, and I was working myself silly trying to do the right thing when God sent this person in my life. And only when I had been going to church for a while did I realize that was his lifeline for me, was that person.
Wow. Now, there's this thing on your website called AMP. What is AMP?
And AMP, I'm just such a believer in prayer. I mean, prayer is just so, so very vital. And an AMP, it's an AMP. It stands for Artesian Ministries Prayer Partner. But basically, you know, being a musician, being a worship leader, AMPs are basically what are used to make something louder or to magnify something. And when we go before the throne in prayer, you know, that is the catalyst to eternal change. And so when I was trying to figure out the name of the people who would be part of my prayer team, an AMP it just fits so perfectly with the acronym and what it meant. And so that's really what
right.
an AMP is.
What a neat idea. Wow. So this is people that sign up to become an AMP. They're on a prayer team praying over you, or how does that work?
Yeah, they pray, you know, that my event schedule is listed on my website. They pray over me when I'm out of town. You know, I keep them up to date as far as projects coming up, people who have contacted the ministry who need prayer. They're really just a prayer chain of faithful prayer warriors who partner with me in the gospel. You know, and they're absolutely vital. Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, prayer is the, you know, I want to say that prayer is the number one key, but I'm conflicted because I know that the word is also, you know, the number one key. And I'm not for sure that they share, you know, the same type of weight, but prayer is absolutely necessary.
Prayer is just vital because, I mean, just think of Jesus. I mean, God prayed. Prayer is very, very important. You know, the scripture gives us the truth. Prayer gives us access to the truth. Prayer gives us, just access to that, basically that locomotive that drives the engine of what we do for Christ.
Well, I never heard it said like that, and that makes absolutely perfect sense because I know that when I pray about something, it's just like a weight has been lifted off of me, and the sun instantly starts shining a little brighter than when I don't. So you're absolutely correct on that one. Let's see, you've written several Bible studies and daily devotionals. Where do you get the inspiration from, besides God, of course?
Well, basically, different things he pulls me toward when I'm in my quiet time, when I'm doing my personal reading, or if I hear a sermon, or if I'm in a Bible class. You know, for some reason, God draws me to particular passages. And I actually approach Bible studies, writing Bible studies, differently. I don't start out with a theme, like, you know, joy or love or something like that, because God draws me to, you know, two or three specific passages. And so what I do is I take those two passages or three or whatever, and I basically just tear them up, you know, the Hebrew or the Greek or, you know, the culture of the time, and just what those two passages mean to us, what Scripture was saying to us as far as I can understand, you know, and the scholars and the commentaries and, you know, things like that. And the study is birthed out of my search to understand those passages. And so by the time I'm, you know, towards the end of it, basically the Bible study is written, and the theme, then God gives me the theme on what I've learned. And that's how the Bible studies are then named and, you know, marketed like that. But really it's just a different approach. I think Bible studies are important to a certain degree, but for me, I need a word that I can hide in my heart. You know, I need something I can take with me and pull out when I feel those fiery darts of the enemy, you know. And when I write Bible studies like that or do scripture memorization, you know, I can pull that sword of the Spirit out and get to stabbing, you know, whereas I can't do that necessarily with a theme. So for me, the actual passages are so very important. And anytime I'm asked to lead retreats or speak at weekend-long retreats or something, it's on just two or three passages. And so by the time the weekend is over, those passages are embedded in us. They're those seeds that start to produce fruit. And that's just how God has called me to do that. It's just different, but that's just how he's called me to do it.
Okay. Oh my goodness. I'm sorry. I just completely... I was just listening to what I don't know. I was listening to what you were saying, and I just kind of went into, like, I don't know where I went.
Well, I've never known you to be speechless, girl. I mean, you know.
I know. You have accomplished an impossible feat. You really have. I mean, you know, I've always been fascinated, even like when I go to church on Sunday, and the pastor can take one verse, you know, and come up with so much out of one verse, and you know, two verses, you know, he comes up with a sermon, and you come up with an entire book.
Well, a Bible study, they're normally like four or five lessons long, because like if there's a couple of passages, I'll just take, you know, I'll take the first passage and split it in two, and the second and split it in two, and you have four studies. And it's just the kind of the way it rolled, you know. But by the end of it, I'll never forget, last February I was in Brenham speaking in a weekend-long retreat from Friday night to Sunday morning, and I had, I think, five different sessions to do, you know, one on Friday night, three on Saturday, and one on Sunday morning. And after the Friday night session, you know, a lady came up to me and said, oh, that was wonderful, you know, what are we doing tomorrow? And I said, well, we're in the same passages. And she just had this look of shock, and she said, you mean all weekend? Well, by Sunday, she came up to me with tears in her eyes, and she said, you know, God has caused this weekend for me to never, ever forget those passages. She said, they'll always be a part of me. And I said, that's the point. That's the point. You know, we hide his word in our heart, and we're not ever lost. That's the point.
Wow. And it is, you know, and I've been meaning That's one of my New Year's resolution that I haven't quite gotten around to yet, to start memorizing verses. And I know that that's one of the things that you do. So for people like me that are struggling with memory verse memorization, what tips can you give us?
Well, the way I normally pick a passage, it's one of two ways. It's either a season in my life, like right now we're in Lent, and so I'm memorizing Isaiah 53:5, where it says, you know, he was, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities, you know. And for me in this season, that has huge meaning to me. You know, for another season, I may feel, you know, temptation in a certain area, and I want to be able to, you know, refute that once again with the sword of the Spirit, and I'll find a verse or two that have to do with that specific temptation that I feel coming, to where when I feel it coming, you know, I can just quote those out loud sometimes, really, just when the temptation is so hard. So for me, it's just part of a walk of just trying to put on that armor of God, so to speak, and just live the thing, you know, just try to do what we're supposed to do, you know, just keep your head up and just keep your faith plastered on Jesus. It's just the most important thing.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. Now, let me ask you, I know that there are some really neat things happening in your life right now. God seems to be moving your life in a different and new and exciting direction. So that being said, you're currently writing a book. You've just been picked up by a literary agent to, you know, represent you. And you are taping your first Bible study.
I am. I'm just beyond excited about both those things. Because it's just, it's so, I mean, and I just give God all the glory because it's so, it's such a far cry from what my life looked like. And, I mean, it's just all God. He gets all the glory. I never thought I'd be an author. I just wrote what I was trying to understand, and I turned into an author. And, you know, after walking with the Lord 20 years now, I just realized that before Christ, I was dehydrated. I mean, spiritually, emotionally, everything, just dehydrated. But walking with him, what a hydrated life it is. And so the book that I'm working on is actually called Living Water for a Parched Soul. And it's basically, you know, how to live that hydrated life. And what is really cool is even when I can remember those desert seasons in my life, you know, if I have kept my eyes on him and kept obedient to him, you know, he is the canteen that never runs dry. He will keep us hydrated no matter what our life looks like. And so basically, you know, I don't have any degree. I don't have any expertise. It's just a, you know, I've just lived it. It's a book of experience on how to live a hydrated life in Christ. And that's the book. The Bible study, I'm just so excited about it. The Lutheran Women's Missionary League is a national mission organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, which I'm a part of at Salem. And they have partnered with my ministry to actually, you know, get a camera crew and get one of these Bible studies taped on DVD and make it available nationwide. And so the longest study I wrote is on the armor of God, and it's called Your Strong Suit. And May 6th and 7th at Salem Lutheran Church in Tomball, you know, we'll tape that before a live studio audience. You know, we're going to dig in the Word, a gaggle of women just having a great time with a camera crew to dig in the Word. And I just absolutely cannot wait. You know, we're going to have worship, and, I mean, it's just going to be fantastic. And just to know.
I can't wait either.
I'm telling you. And just to know, and beyond all that, you know, excitement and fluff, you know, we're going to spend 8 sessions, 2 intense days on the armor of God. And by the time we leave there, we're going to know it. You know, we're going to know what those different pieces do, and we're going to remember to put them on. And that's the point of the whole thing. But I'm very excited about that. Yeah.
Donna, I have been quiet since you started speaking.
So I wanted to
Hi, Vivian.
I've been quiet since you started speaking because, you know, there's a time where the Lord says, be quiet and listen. And I just want to affirm you what you're saying. It's interesting. And I just thank the Lord that you came on tonight because I came to the Lord, came back to the Lord in 2004, and there's a season, as you know, as you're growing spiritually. You've been in the Lord for over 20 years now, and it's a big responsibility when you're doing God's work. And I'm in a crossroad right now whether I want to continue working in the Lord's work. And listening to you, and I'm not saying leaving God. I'm just saying sometimes that there's so many hurting women out there, and I realize that as you're talking, you know, I hear it in your voice that we go through seasons, and you know, and how you're quoting and how you're learning and memorizing your verses. And that's where I'm at right now. Saying, Lord, is it really something that you want me to do? And the Lord keeps on saying, Gideon, Gideon, Gideon. Because I keep on saying, Lord, I can't do this all by myself. And he's telling me, you're not. And so I'm listening to you, and I'm like, okay, Lord, I hear what you want me to hear. Remember when I told you from the very beginning, the Holy Spirit is going to let you talk. So let him. And what you're saying tonight is just hitting me. That's why I'm so quiet, because usually Ruthie will tell you I'm not that quiet.
Can't get a word in edgewise usually. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you, Ruthie, for sharing. But, you know,
love
it's
you.
Still seasons. I know, I love you too. And it's still seasons, and I believe that, you know, for any women that are out there that are going through what I'm going through right now, like you said, plaster your face to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And prayer is vital. Prayer is vital. And it hurts me a great deal because I know my calling, and at the same time, I'm asking God, let me take a breather to understand what you really want me to do. And the only way that's going to manifest is to plaster my face to Jesus Christ and being still and being quiet. And thank you for giving, you do not know, what your ministry is just, what you're saying is helping me. So I want to tell you thank you, because it's your responsibility, and God is so amazing. And little did I know that I was going to get teary-eyed just by hearing you talking about how God is using you. And it's like those spiritual weights that he gives us. And he gives us spiritual weights. And right now, I'm just going to sit back and continue listening to you. But I just want to tell you thank you. Thank you, because you have to hear it from other people that are doing what you have been called to do as well.
Wow. Wow. Well, thank you so much for that, Vivian. I mean, I hear in your voice your struggle, but you know what I also heard is the fact that you're listening to him. I mean, you're listening to him. You say you're at a crossroads, which tells me there's a right and a left. And you're right. Just still, be still and listen. Do I go to the right? Do I go to the left? And he will lead you. But you know what? Even if you go through one that you feel like that you find out at the end maybe that wasn't where he's called you, he is still going to call you back. He has a purpose for your life, and no matter how many detours we take, he's still going to accomplish it. So you just, you keep your face plastered on him, and you just walk in faith.
I love that, plastered on him. I think you should write a chapter on just keeping your face plastered on Jesus, because it's like, you know, it's amazing, because I, you know, it's like somebody said this last week, you know, grandma's passing on, and she was a pioneer, and you're picking the torch. And I was like, oh, Lord, oh, my goodness, no, it can't be. And so I was stuck there, and I was like, oh, my goodness, things have been opening up, and I just need to focus on him and forget about the technicalities. He will take care of those.
And, well, he will. And, I mean, it sounds like you've, I mean, it sounds like you've already been carrying a torch. So don't let someone else's words freak you out. Just hold that torch tight to a walk.
Yes,
you know, girl,
that's
walk.
True.
Hold it and walk. Don't feel like you have to take on someone else's ministry or faith or anything like that. You're unique in God. You do what he's called you to do. Don't let someone else's word, you know, freak you out.
Well, yeah, and then it did for a moment. It's like, wait a minute. She's 94. I still have a lot to grow, and I still have a lot to get to know about my daddy, Jesus Christ. And I just kind of go, you know, it's just the weirdest things that are happening. But he keeps on, you know, telling me, be quiet. And I keep on saying, oh, but I need to do this and I need to do that. And he keeps on saying, Gideon, you don't need all this stuff. Gideon, be quiet and listen. I'm like, okay, I will. So I just need to just keep focused on him and plastered on his face and saying, I'm here, and I'm not going to do anything without you letting me know what it is. And so it's a big act of faith, and it really is. So I just thank you so much. And I'll be quiet again in the background, but I'm looking forward to hearing what more you have to say. We really need, you know.
I will be praying for you, yeah. Because
thank you.
It's a tough time in life, but you know what? Yeah, hold that torch high he's giving you. And, you know, a lot of people focus on Jeremiah 29:11, that he says, you know, we know the plans he has for us, you know. But sometimes people forget about Jeremiah 29:13. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it says, those of you who seek me will find me. And you are seeking him, and you will find him. You're not going to have to look for him. He's going to show up, girl.
Yes, amen. You know,
I just screamed when you said Jeremiah 29:11 and then realized I had the phone on mute, so you didn't hear me. But that verse has been on my mind this entire week. So
really?
It's just like, yes. And I tell you, I'm not a memorization. I'm not good at it. Getting better. But it's not my forte. It's not my gifting. And for some reason, I memorized that verse. And I've been able to share it with quite a few people, including myself. I'm reminding myself, you know, whenever I need to. For an entire week. I don't know why. So it's just, you know, astounding to me that you would say that same verse.
So thank you. That Jeremiah 29:11, and, you know, Ruthie, I know you have mentioned it this week several times, and Jeremiah 29:13, yeah, I really like that one.
You will find me when you seek me with all your heart, and that's all you got to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's just awesome, and Jesus Christ is so awesome that I'm just thankful that you're on tonight. You do not know how much this is really kind of, you know, when you're talking about parched, we women do tend to forget to hydrate ourselves sometimes, and we do it really quickly. Whether, you know, we need a gallon of water to drink, and we'll take 2 teaspoons. And with Jesus Christ, we can't take those just 2 little teaspoons. We really need to get into the living water. So
I get there and get hydrated. I have a picture of Mary at Jesus' feet. You know, Martha's all freaking out and running around, and Mary's at Jesus' feet. I mean, she's not, you know, she's not sitting in the back of the room listening. She is at his feet. She's so close, she doesn't want anyone to walk between them, you know, because she just wants to drink him in. And I pray that for you. I really do.
Thank
that you.
You
just sit at his feet and just drink, you know?
Yeah, thank you. And I'm going to take that memory verse now, Jeremiah 29:13, and I'm going to put it on my vision board, and I'm going to work on that as, you know, as my new thing for this, until the Lord says different. I'm going to
That's
seek
awesome.
Thank
that
you.
Is awesome.
So, I'm Ruthie, Ruthie's quiet now. We're into this choir panel.
Is that our mute button back on? Ruthie, are you muted again, girl? She is.
Hello?
I bet she is.
She is. Well, anyway.
Oh,
I'm
sorry. The phone is still on mute. I said I've been in the background. I've been in the background crying, so I keep putting the phone on mute. And I cried so much that now my eyes itch, so I had to put some eye drops in it. But anyway, I just wanted to tell you, Vivian, that that took a lot of courage. And, you know, to be so bold and share something like that on air. And I am so very proud of you. For being able to do that, and I mean, it just really touched me. I kid you not, I'm sitting here crying, because I know that right now you're going through something very difficult. You've never experienced that type of loss, and it's a really trying time, and I, you know, like, we all deal with things differently, but I know, you know, and I don't know what you're supposed to do, but I do know that whatever God calls you to, whether it's to rest in this season of your life from ministry, or whether it's to continue this ministry, that whatever He calls you to do, He will provide for you. Generously. So just thank you so much for being so open to share something that most people would have kept hidden.
Yeah. Thank you.
I agree.
And with that said, I think now would be a great time to take a little musical break with another one of my favorite hymns, Jesus Paid It All, by Natasha Perez. And we'll be right back with Donna Powell and continue this interview.
Thy strength indeed is small.
Amazing. That hymn is so touching for me. It just reminds me of, once again, when I was younger, God is good. And so we're back with Donna Pyle and Ruthie Munoz.
Yes, we are. And I was listening to that hymn, and Donna, it took me back to Israel.
Oh, yeah.
When we went to, I forget what it's called, is it Golgotha, where they actually crucified Jesus. Remember that big stone that looked like it had two eyes?
Yeah. Skull Hill.
And that's where it took me back to, because I, you know, having seen it in real life, I just couldn't fathom. How it all went down, you know, how you know, people could be so cruel to someone, and he just took it without complaining, so that he could wash away our sins, you know, as white as snow, freshly fallen snow, of course, because otherwise, you know. After it's been down a while.
You know, a lot of, several scholars believe that, you know, when he was flogged, he was flogged to the point of being unrecognizable. And I've always thought it just so amazing that he became unrecognizable so that we could be recognized to God for eternity.
Wow. That is... I don't even know what to say to that, but yeah, I'm not going to say anything because you got it spot on. But while we were on break, the three of us were chatting, and we were sharing what our prayer requests were. And Donna and my prayers were answered tonight. Donna, would you like to share what your prayer was right before you came on the show?
Yeah, I just prayed that just one person be brought to hear what they needed to hear, just one. It didn't have to be 100 or 50 or whatever, just one.
And I prayed that the Holy Spirit would lead us all in what we had to say. I pray this every show, excuse me, because we're not professionals. We're just normal, you know, human beings answering God's call. And I prayed that God would bring whomever he had to hear our message tonight to the show. And the furthest thing from my mind was that it would be my friend Vivian. So my prayer was answered tonight, as was Donna's. And I just thought that how amazing is God that on a show where we're talking about the power of prayer, that he would confirm how important prayer is by answering not only one prayer, but two prayers in the space of an hour. So I just,
also as you guys were praying before we started this show, I was like, okay, Lord, if you want me to be quiet, let's see what you want to say to me. And I'll listen to whatever you say. And he answered my prayer. So all three prayers were answered this evening, and I just feel like Christmas in July, in March.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
So I we know now that we're on the right track, you know, so that's a good thing. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Donna, where can someone interested in getting more information about Artesian Ministries or your books or your devotionals or your upcoming events go to get more information?
Yeah, they need to head to the ministry website. It's www.artesianministries.org. And they'll
spell
find
out Artesians
everything.
For them.
Artesian, it's Artesian ministries.org.
Okay, and ministries is plural.
Plural, yes.
Correct?
I-E-S,
awesome.
Yes.
Okay, so there you have it, and you can get as much information as you want about Donna, about her ministry, her books, her devotionals, and her upcoming events at www.artesianministries.org. I want to know if you're married and if your husband is supportive of your ministry.
Well, he definitely was supportive of my ministry, but no, I'm no longer married, and that has been my journey of forgiveness.
Wow. So basically what you're telling me is that life threw you a curveball, and to use a metaphor, how did that curveball affect your game of life?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a great way to put it. It was such a curveball. I mean, it's not so much a curveball as much as a nuclear explosion. I mean, really, just to think that everything's just fine and to find out that, you know, the person that you loved and trusted and everything has done some things, you know, that caused the relationship to be so broken that it could not survive it. And it just was, it was heartbreaking and devastating. And it definitely was a curveball. But it's affected my game of life in so many ways. I never thought I would be a divorced person. That was never, you know, my parents were married 40 years before I died of cancer. I mean, divorce just wasn't a part of my life. You know, my ex-husband's parents, you know, they're, I think, going on 46 years. You know, it just wasn't ever a part of it.
Right.
It's just, it was very, very heartbreaking. And, you know, in an instant, the topography of my life was just changed forever. And it's been quite a journey. I don't know that I would choose it, but I'm certainly thankful for it because of what I've learned that I would not have otherwise learned. So such very important lessons, you know, on forgiveness and on life.
Were you guys married a long time?
Well, we were together for 19 years. We actually dated for 6 years before we got married because he was in college and trying to finish his degree and everything. And so we dated for 6 years and got married, and we were married for 13. And so we were together a good half of my life. And so he was very much the center of my life for half of my life. He really was.
Ooh, that is devastating, girl. You know, I too am divorced, and it was a devastating time in my life. And you know, I'm just so amazed that you can talk about it so positively, because I know that there's a lot of people out there, myself included, that struggle with the devastation and sometimes can't rebound from it or can't find the strength, I think. I'm not sure that that's the right word, to forgive. the hurt or the betrayal or whatever else, you know, may have led to their curveball in life. And so, you
right,
know.
That's a great way to say it. Yeah. That's a great way to say it. Perfect. Yeah. I mean, we just never plan for stuff like that. And you know, betrayal is so much different than a death. Betrayal is actually far worse than a death because a death, no one plans. You know, if someone dies, you can't really hold it against them. It's not like they chose that. But betrayal, it depicts an intentionality and a choice. And it's really hard to reconcile that in our minds. It just really is.
Right.
And, you know, we have a choice. I mean, when all this, when that horrible day happened and I found everything out, I just crumbled. And luckily, God put two people in my life, my worship pastor and his wife, who basically just scooped me up for the night, metaphorically, and, let me stay the night with them just so I wouldn't be alone. Because, you can't even function when your life explodes. You just can't. Just the basic necessities just go out of your mind. And one of the things that I knew I would need to do would be to journal. And it was one of the things that my worship pastor had suggested. And I didn't even remember writing this until I reread my journal a couple of months ago. But that very first night, even when everything was so raw and everything hurt so bad, one of my first lines in there was to help me to forgive. And I don't think at that point I was really asking to forgive, because I just wanted to crawl upside one side of him down the other and kill him, basically. I mean, that's just the human side of us. When someone hurts us, you just want to come out
right.
And touch him. But I think what I didn't want to do was become an angry, bitter person. I think that was just, because I had seen people like that. I think we all have.
Uh-huh.
And just to, you're around those people, and those people that you wonder what in the world happened to them to make them this angry and this bitter. And I just didn't want to be like that. And so my prayer was, help me to forgive. Just help me
wow.
to forgive.
And Donna, something that you said about betrayal, I don't know if you've ever read any of Stephen Dates or heard of him, but I'm quoting him, which says, "One should rather die than be betrayed. There is no deceit in death. It delivers precisely what it has promised. Betrayal, though, betrayal is the willful slaughter of hope."
Oh, wow. A willful slaughter.
Isn't that amazing? The willful slaughter of hope.
Wow.
See,
that's
death,
a powerful thing.
Yeah, that's it. We know what death is going to give us. But betrayal, that's something totally different. And I've seen so many sisters in the churches so angry and so bitter because of
But, you know, one
their
thing, I think one thing that made my situation a little different is the fact that, I knew what being parched was. I knew what it was like, not to have God. And I knew, walking 20 years with him, that if I didn't have him, I wasn't going to make it through. And so I just basically held on to the hem of his garment, just because the whirlwind around me. I mean, I didn't even recognize my life for the hurricane that hit it, And
mm-hmm.
It was just amazing to me because we didn't have any children. And, I'd never done any, research on divorce or anything like that. And it only takes 90 days to get divorced in the state of Texas if you don't have any children and you're not fighting over stuff. And so in 4 months, it was done. And it was so unbelievable. It was done almost before some even knew, and it was just unbelievable and just amazing. But I just didn't want to be angry and bitter because I knew that I just needed God. He was the only thing that was going to get me through. And what's really cool about that is that he sends people to us that give us exactly what we need. I mean, just that word that we need, just that hug that we need, the people that just let us cry, And I'm so thankful for them. Those people are seared, you know, in my heart and mind as dear, dear, priceless friends, because they didn't think they had to say anything profound. They just let me be, you know.
Wow. I mean, and you need people like that, you know, in your life. You know, because sometimes you need to just kind of work out the kinks in while you're still. And then sometimes you need people around you, but just have been able to have that support system in place and people that, you know, were able to love on you.
Yeah. And it was so very
That's
fast
a blessing.
Because,
that's a blessing because not everyone has that.
Yeah, and I'm so thankful for Salem, my home church, because, I mean, my ex-husband and I were very visible there. You know, we were both on the worship team. You know, we both did adult Bible class and just visible. And so, you know, it didn't just happen to me when all this happened. I knew from the second it happened that it was going to affect literally hundreds of people. And I just knew that how I handled it, how much I relied on God, wasn't just going to affect me. It was going to affect a whole lot of people. And so that was my prayer. I mean, to be honest, I couldn't pray for him. I couldn't pray. I asked friends to pray for him, but I was at a place where I just couldn't. And that was so confusing because I had never not been able to pray for someone, but just because of the hurt itself, I just couldn't pray for him. But I just, you know, like I said, I plastered my face on Jesus because he was the only bright light in the dark. And when everything is so dark, you know, his face shines so bright. It's amazing.
Girl, so, I mean, I doubt very much that you're going to give me an opposite question, but I still have to ask, was there ever a time when you were going through all this that you were angry with God or tempted to turn away from him?
No, definitely not. Not angry with God. Because I knew this wasn't of God, you know. The enemy basically got a hold of someone I loved very much and just did a number on him. Like, you know, 1 Peter 5:8 says he, you know, to seek, to kill, and devour, basically. And, you know, God didn't do that to him. You know, I couldn't be angry with God because I knew that he was going to be the only one to get me through. The only time I really felt anger, to be honest, it was never at God, but it was just, you know, my ex-husband never had to see the hurt on those faces that I saw, you know, those hundreds of people who came up to me at church or whatever, and to you know, support and to say they're thinking of me and things like that, and that they're praying for him too. But just to see that hurt and that disappointment and those emotions on so many faces, I mean, even just as recent as last weekend, someone who had been stationed overseas, you know, came back in and, you know, come bouncing up to me and said, "Hey, you know, how are you doing? How's your husband?" And I had to tell him, you know, he's not anymore. And, you know, once again, I had to see that look of confusion and disappointment and hurt. And I had to catch myself from getting angry because I thought, you know, that's one more face that he did not have to see it on. But I've had to see it on hundreds. But I just have to turn that over because if I hang on to that, it's just toxic. And I just don't want that. I just don't want it. I just want to be free from all that. I just want to live honestly before God. And I just wanted that more than I wanted to hold a grudge. And that's really what it comes down to. What do you want to hold on more? I mean, sometimes some of us hold on to forgiveness so tight that our hands are so tightly clasped that we don't open them to receive that hope and future of Jeremiah 29:11. And we've just got to open our hands because unforgiveness, it just keeps that pain alive and it traps us in the past. It just does. And so we really have to figure out what we're going to do about unforgiveness, because I think some of us look around our lives at a vast graveyard of relationships due to unforgiveness. And I think God's heart is just broken over that. And, if we struggle with unforgiveness, I really don't believe that we grasp, you know, if we struggle with unforgiveness, that we understand the vast sin debt that God canceled in us, you know, how much grace we received. Because when we realize that grace and what he's forgiven us, you know, it's very hard to hold that against someone else. It's just really unthinkable, you know, to do that.
You know, and you know, and to piggyback on that, you know, as I tell people, you know, the unforgiving person is like the foolish man who says, give me poison that I may drink and avenge my enemies, for I will not forgive their trespasses against me, and I will show them how wise I really am. We're not being wise when we don't forgive. In fact, we're being so foolish because, you know, even the Mayo Clinic talks about what happens to the body when we don't forgive. And this is the Mayo Clinic. It deteriorates our body. It deteriorates our brain. It debilitates us. So, you know, people with chronic illnesses, they have been tests shown that when they start the process of forgiveness, they begin to heal physically.
Yeah, if that's the issue, that's definitely true. But it's really tough in our culture today because our culture has a huge forgiveness issue because we have a culture around us that applauds those who seek revenge. You know, I think of the Rambo movies and how the culture basically says, just write them off. And God says, oh, gosh, no, you know, that's my precious creation. Don't ever write them off. You know, we're called to forgive. We're commanded to forgive. Now, one thing that people get confused about is forgiveness and reconciliation. Those are two very different things. We are commanded to forgive. In Colossians 3:13, you know, we're told to bear with each other and forgive one another, to forgive as the Lord forgave you. That's a commandment, to forgive. But reconciliation is different. You know, that's a repairing of a relationship. We're commanded to forgive. We're encouraged to reconcile. But sometimes relationships can't be reconciled because they're toxic. I mean, I think of abusive situations. You know, if women are fleeing for their lives, you know, to forgive that abuse, yes, we're commanded to do that. But to reconcile that toxic relationship, we are not called to do that. And so they're very different. And I find that people are confused on that. It's almost like a physical scar. You know, that lie out there that says if you haven't forgiven, you know, if you haven't forgotten, you haven't forgiven. And that is such a lie from the pit because we will always remember. We always remember a hurt. And it's like a physical hurt. If someone takes a knife and slashes you across the arm, every time you see that, you're going to remember. And our heart is no different. Every time we remember that, we're going to remember. But every time we remember, we're called to forgive. And it's tough. I tell you what, in those first couple of weeks, you know, I prayed through gritted teeth, just gritted teeth, you know, help me to forgive. And I didn't want to pray that, but I knew I had to. And, you know, it was 100 times a day. You know, every time that anger or rage or whatever it was would come up in me, you know, I'd have to forgive and forgive again. And it was 100 times a day. But you know what? After a week or so, it was 50 times a day. And then it was, you know, 50 times a week. And then it was 5 times a week. And God is so faithful. If our hearts are pure after him to do what he's called us to do, he will do it. Uh-huh. And that is the only reason that we are able to forgive. It was nothing. He gets all the glory. It was nothing of me, nothing of my strength. Because in me, I wanted to seek, kill, and destroy. I mean, like a nuclear bomb go after him. You know, get hurt like that. And you're just,
we appreciate honesty here.
Yeah.
Yes.
We just want to go, you know, nuke him. But that's not what God calls us to do. And if we're truly going to be free of unforgiveness and embrace the forgiveness that he commands us to, we have got to pray to release that. And he will do it. If we are praying that honestly, he will do it. He will.
Wow. And it's so true. It's so true. And there's a change. You know, it's like I tell people, you know, just because we forgive doesn't mean that we have to get around those toxic people, like you said, and sing kumbaya and expect a different change. Because you know what does they say about insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result. When we forgive, we're going to remember, but what's attached to our mind is no longer that. You know, if our mind is in Christ. So, like, for example, like I was telling people, one of my abusers, God tested me, and I said to the Lord, you know, Lord, I want to know if I really have forgiven this person. And I found out that this person now lives in the general vicinity where I live. And, you know, you ask God for confirmation, and he will show you. And I was able to be in the same room with this person and not have any anger towards him. I could remember what he did. But that's between God and him now. I put that, you know, it was when I was a child. He abused me when I was a child. And, of course, statute of limitations and all that stuff. But I was able to be in the same room, and I didn't have anger towards him. I didn't feel, you know, like I wanted to hurt him. I was at peace. But it took many years. It doesn't happen overnight. And through God, it wasn't me that did anything. God worked in me. So we can love people from afar. We can forgive them. We don't have to sit, like I said, gather around and sing kumbaya. But we can actually now look at them through Christ's eyes. Now, and it's for some people it's hard. You know, working with rape victims, it's hard. You know, if a woman has been raped, I mean, they've been violated. At that point, you know, they need to go through the seasons as well. And but like you said, we have to be cognitive and we have to be responsible. A woman who's being hurt in an abusive relationship, we have to be able to, okay, we can forgive, but that doesn't mean we have to go back.
We're called to forgive. Yeah, we definitely are. And it's tough. I didn't really realize at the beginning that I had actually forgiven. Because, you know, it's when do you decide you've forgiven? And you really hit the nail on the head, Vivian. I mean, because a true forgiveness comes out of compassion. It's motivated by love. It's actually a love that comes from sorrow. And it's not over what they've done, but what they've become. You're sad over what that life could have been but chose differently. And you feel compassion. I now can pray for my ex-husband with tears in my eyes just for God to bring him back, you know, to him, to bring him back into relationship. And that's only through God's power. I mean, because, you know, that forgiveness did not come from me. He allowed me to experience that, and I'm so thankful. But it's that love that comes from sorrow. And I'll never forget, you know, the well-meaning people, you know, that come up and say things to you, that when they think they have to say something and the completely wrong thing comes out. But someone came up to me, and I realized that they were still dealing with the hurt because this person was a friend of my husband, ex-husband. And I realized that he was still dealing with his hurt, but he said, you know, I wish y'all had just never gotten married. I just wish it never happened. And I had to stop you and say, oh, no, because my ex-husband was the one that got me into church. Without God using him, I wouldn't be in the church. I would not know God. I would not be talking to you today. I'd be in such a different place. God used him in an amazing way in my life. And there was so much more good than bad, but the bad was so bad that it just broke everything. But I'm still thankful for the life we had together, and I do pray that one day we can be reconciled because, you know, we shared half of my life together, you know, and there's a growth there, you know. That's a person who, you know, walked through my spiritual growth and my spiritual journey with me, and we have such tender memories. That relationship won't ever be restored to what it was, but I certainly hope one day, you know, that we can be friends because just of the journey we shared together and what God has taught us.
Right.
But that's that love that comes from sorrow. That's that forgiveness. And so if you're wondering if you have forgiven someone, it's, you know, when you think of that person, are you sorrowful for what they've
exactly.
done, or mad at what they've done, or are you compassionate and sad about what they've become? When you can answer that question, that's when you know.
And my daughters, just in another situation, my daughters are, you know, my former husband went into a crisis 3 weeks ago. And, you know, people kind of didn't want to tell me. They didn't think, you know, I wanted to hear. But when I heard that he was going through what he was going through, it was like somebody just punched me in my stomach. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry for him. And I just... And my daughter's like, Mom, you're praying for him? I'm like, you don't understand. He's my brother in Christ. You know, and I don't know how to explain it, but people were like, even a friend of mine emailed me, and she goes, you have the nerve to ask us to pray for your ex-husband? The way he was with you? I go, wait a minute. I'm the one that suffered, and I have forgiven him. You have. And he's like, well, you're a saint. And no. The way God has forgiven me, I must forgive. And I, you know, I wasn't a saint, but I was, you know, just the thought that he's now going through some pain hurt me. Because it's like, oh, Lord, may he be in your arms. May he come and reconcile with you. Because it's no longer with me. It's between you and he. And my daughters were like, wow. You know, I'm not a saint, but I feel for him. And I just, you know.
Because we,
you know,
some people may be angry about the forgiveness that we extend to others. I mean, I think of the prodigal son. You know, when he came home and was welcomed with open arms, what was the older brother's response?
Mm-hmm.
He was mad.
I've been here.
I've been here
all this time.
Yeah, he was mad that forgiveness had been extended. But what we have to remember about forgiveness is we're not responsible with how it's received. We are responsible for giving it. Extending it. And really, that's the hardest part of forgiveness. I mean, we can forgive, but the last step of forgiveness is to tell that person they've been forgiven. And I remember that really was the last step when I was called to do that. That was a tough step because, you know, when you take that step and hold out that olive branch, so to speak, of forgiveness, you know, you're opening yourself up again. But we're called to extend forgiveness. We're called to get off our pew, basically, and walk across the aisle. And so I texted my ex-husband and said, you know, I'd like to meet. And we hadn't talked or I hadn't heard his voice or anything since that day. We did everything by text and email because talking just wasn't an option. And it was very sad to have someone involved 19 years and all of a sudden you never hear their voice again. And he has a beautiful singing voice. And I realized in ministry together in worship, you know, I'd never hear his voice again. But I needed him to know that he was forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
But he texted me back and said that he, you know, just was not in a place where he could meet with me. He just couldn't do that. And so I texted him his forgiveness. You know, sometimes we just have to do that. And let him know that he was completely forgiven. And although I didn't receive a response, I'm not responsible for how he received it. All I know is that it was extended. That's as far as our responsibility goes.
Now, let me ask you a question, Donna, because we're running short on time. So I'm going to ask you two quick questions, and then I'm going to ask you for your final thought. What do you tell someone that forgave someone for having hurt them and then the person turns around and hurts them again, and the feelings of forgiveness go out the door? That's one question. And then what other ministries are you involved in, and what is your final thought to share with our audience tonight?
Well, on the first one on forgiveness, if it's true forgiveness, it can never go out the door. 7 years ago, you know, we also had a glitch in our marriage that was kind of the same as what actually ended it, but it was on a not as bad of a scale, and I forgave that 7 years ago, and I let that go. I never brought it up, never, you know, I forgave that, and we stayed married. We worked through it. We went to marriage conferences because, you know, we did the thing. We were trying to work it out, and I promised never, ever to bring it up again. And what that allowed him to do was have 7 years to really learn how to hide it well. And but when it happened the second time, the first forgiveness didn't go out the door. I just, you know, I had to endure the storm that happened and forgive that one. Forgiveness extended, it never comes back. It was truly extended. But other ministries I'm involved in, really, it's just what you said. The Lutheran Women's Missionary League is close to my heart because they do such amazing mission work around the world, building churches and just reaching people who are lost with the gospel. That's close to my heart. And, you know, at Salem, the worship ministry, and just Artesian Ministries, just what he's called me to do here. But really my closing thought is that, you know, God forgave us at a great price. And we have no right to withhold that from someone else because it's toxic to us and not to them. And we are commanded to forgive because it leads to life. You know, it leads to life and a full life in him. And we have got to embrace that and get past that to be able to live. And not just live, but live for him. That is the difference, and that is life to the full.
Wow. Donna, thank you so, so much for taking the time and staying up so late so that we could do this program. I know that it has been a blessing for me. It's been a blessing for Vivian, and I am sure that it is going to be a blessing for someone else out there. Thank you for your grace and your commitment.
It's been such a privilege. It's been such a privilege. Thank you so very much. Thank you, thank you.
We are going to continue to hold you up in prayer, you and Artesian Ministries, and I am going to be sitting at the front row of your taping, God willing.
May 6th and 7th, Salem Lutheran Church in Tomball. Come and be blessed and be suited up in the armor of God.
Amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have come to that part of the show where we have to say goodbye. But we will catch up with you guys on Sunday. Vivian, what do we have coming up on Sunday?
Sunday, we have the voice behind H&R Block, which is Pastor Howard Small, Down But Not Out. He's going to be talking to us about when they kick you down, because even pastors go through a down moment, and how he has allowed Jesus Christ to help him get back up to the point where he is now the voice behind H&R Block. God is good. So we're going to have him this Sunday at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. is it Central Time that you're at, and so on and so forth. So everybody
there you go.
He's going to be on, and he's going to be amazing. He's an amazing speaker, so we're looking forward to that.
Okay, so. Well, as we traditionally do on our Tuesday shows, we're going to take the show out with a song from Lisa Pierre. Enjoy. And have a great and blessed rest of the week.
Okay.
Hello.
Okay, woohoo!
and make me whole.
Identity Blog Talk Radio was brought to you by the following sponsors: Rushing Media, a full-service public relations marketing and strategy company; Creative Network Solutions, creating possibilities for the future of your business; Pillow Enterprises, a professional services company serving the needs of our individuals with notary, title abstract, insurance, real estate, and photography services; and Hype Seminars, preparing, exploring, achieving the power of choice.